Food allergy. Their symptoms are diarrhea, vomiting, big one, a rash, or wheezing, having trouble breathing. Now, all of the things that cause food allergies, they generally have very small proteins in them. When you're breastfeeding, you give antibodies to your infant, and the antibody is also a very, very small protein. So the infant's digestive tract is designed so small proteins are not digested and they're absorbed whole. Unfortunately, anything else that's not an antibody gets absorbed too. So egg white, they have lots and lots of small proteins. Egg whites have lots and lots of these very small proteins. They are absorbed instantly. Chocolate, small proteins. Chocolate is fruiting body from the fruiting body of a plant. Peanuts and any other sort of nut, that is the fruiting body of a tree. It has proteins from the tree, so it gets absorbed. Cow's milk, made up of protein. Now, what happens is the small proteins go into the body. Baby's immune system says, hey, this small protein does not belong. I have met my first foreign invader. I am now going to tell my mast cells, which are immune cells that look for foreign invaders, to watch out for it. Have that substance again, older. The mast cells go, hey, it is egg white, or oh, it's chocolate, or oh, it's peanut. And it has a bad reaction. You swell, you wheeze, your airways constrict. And if it's bad enough, you can go into anaphylactic shock, where your blood vessels open all the way, you lose all blood pressure, and blood does not travel. You are supposed to avoid all those. Now, fish allergies, that is more because of iodine and other ions inside. So we talked about feeding solids, or we began. What was the first solid you should start with? Not vegetable, cereal. Why? Iron. The iron in it, because they've depleted their iron stores and they're still making red blood cells. You should try to allow them to feed themselves. You are all going to get the picture of the mashed potatoes in the face and the cake in the face and all these other food items smashed into the face, but they will get better at it. It takes practice. Now use a baby-sized spoon. They make cute little spoons and cute little forks for kids, and try a small dab of food. You do not try to force a large bite in their mouth. Also, be calm. If you are stressed out, the baby figures it out, he is stressed out. So you need to be calm. And try only a few bites at first. And don't worry about messes. For solid foods, build a variety of food. Again, only introduce one food a week at first to make sure he doesn't have any food allergies, but then try to build a variety. My wife in Germany learned every 4 days, so it's up to you. Talk to your doctor first. Pay attention to the appetite. Sometimes your child might not be hungry. Especially towards 1 year old when their growth starts to slow down. Other times they will be voracious and they are going through a feeding or a growth stage. One, choose fruits, grains, and vegetables, but try not to overdo the fiber because your child will get diarrhea. Don't give him sugar. Don't give him sodium. Do not build up his taste for those two things. Use dried fruit as a dessert or use fruit as a dessert. Don't use or hey, try foods containing iron, zinc, and calcium. What not to feed him? Allergenic foods. So those are things like egg whites, chocolate, peanut, honey, corn syrup, botulism. Likes corn syrup too. It's a carbohydrate. Highly seasoned food, they will not like it. Also, women, when you are breastfeeding and you eat highly seasoned food, seasoning can get into the breast milk, and the baby will be like, there's something wrong here, and complain. Excessive formula or breast milk, don't overdo it. Choking food. Hot dogs are the biggest choking hazard to children out there. Even if you cut them, they still have the casing on them. Don't feed them hot dogs, even if you cut them up into little small pieces. Big choking. I also already mentioned peanut butter straight. Peanut butter will stick to their epiglottis, it'll stay closed, and it could choke them. Lots of juices, especially apple juice or pear juice, those tend to give diarrhea. But the juices in general, give them water. Don't let them get used to drinking juice. There's a lot of juices out there from concentrate with our good buddy high fructose. Preschool children. So the first 2 years, the child is growing at an exceptional rate, growing and growing and growing, and eating everything in sight. After about 2 years of old, the growth rate slows, so there's a less need of calories. Before, humongous calorie need, especially fat. That is used for brain growth. After two, they slow down, Their brain's not growing as much. Don't need to give them as much food. So you could switch from the whole milk to the 2% milk. Their appetite will start to reduce. And again, they have a very, very small stomach. So you need to stick to nutrient-dense foods over energy-dense. And again, if they learn to eat vegetables as an infant, the preschool kids will eat their vegetables. They learn to eat fruits for dessert as infants, the preschool kids will eat fruits for dessert. And you try to hold up the good eating. Don't give in. Don't say, oh, I'm tired. Mickey D's to the rescue. Buy nutrient-dense food and maybe even cook, store up food in the freezer, store up food in the fridge for when you do have that busy day where you get home, you child up from daycare, no, he's going to be starving. So you want to emphasize the good eating habits. They should still eat wheat. Oops. They should, what? So what do children like? Your parents play a big role. The child is watching you. I told you my story. I fix for my, so there to watch what you're eating and want to eat it, when to eat, and where to eat. If you sit down with your child to eat breakfast with them, even starting as an infant, they will be into breakfast and want to eat breakfast. So sit down and make it a meal and basically establish routines. Eat now and be flexible. Oh, it's breakfast. He has cereal. Oh, it's dinner. He has to have this. Change it around a little bit. They do not know these rigid rules when you were growing up. See what they're in. The child decides how much is eaten. He again has a small stomach. Don't try to make him finish his plate. You'll eat, and when he's done, he's done. Be like that. Don't get bad habits of finishing the plate. Color, temperature, and texture of food is also important. Kids like colorful things, not bland creation. Temperature, they don't like it too hot. They don't like it too cold. Their taste buds are still developing, so they're not going to like really spicy food. And then serving sizes. Don't make something that is going to be hard for him. Snacking. Can have snacks. In fact, they should eat 5 small meals a day, not the 3 large meals we are used to. So preschool kids, 5 small meals a day. They're going to want snacks. So apples are great snacks. Just cut the apple, make sure they're not getting the core, and cheese. They love cheese, and cheese has calcium. Graham crackers. Again, they're getting new use of taste. Graham crackers have a nice taste to them. Raisins, celery sticks with peanut butter, and vary it up. Don't have them eat the same thing. Now, it's very tempting to go to Target or get pre-made snack, but look at the label. They might have high sugar, or they might have high fructose corn syrup, or high sodium. Also, when you buy the crackers get stale. You don't seal them up. And the little baby goes. So choose healthy snacks that, again, are going to fill them up. So notice all the snacks on this page, it's going to fill them up. It's not going to make them hungry again later. Don't choose for snacks candy, little brown bags from Pete's or Starbucks, cookies. How to encourage new food. This is so serving new foods first. It helps if it's the first thing you're setting down, not you put the new food and something they like, because they're going to go for what they like and then look at the new food going, get that thing away from me. So introduce it by itself and see what the reaction is. And try it different times of the day. They may have different appetites at different times of the day, different moods. So don't just try it once and go, oh, he doesn't like. Try it at different times. And once they get older, toddler stage to the preschool stage where they could rationalize, or you could try to rationalize with them, say, okay, just please give me one bite and be happy with one bite. If they like it, they'll eat more. If they don't like it, they like crisp things. So raw veggies, not cooked and boiled and made into these soggy little. They like mild flavor still, so don't give them jalapenos or Tabasco sauce. And make mealtime a happy time. Again, sit down. Do not fight with your spouse. Do not yell about politics. Do not yell about sports teams, no matter how awful the sports teams are. Just make it a happy time, a family time. And if you're eating with them, he's going to be happy. Problems. If they sense tensions between you guys, you and your significant other, they will be tense also and not want to. And watch out for high, you're setting high expectations, they're gonna feel it, and eating is one way they could rebel. The easiest way a child can rebel. Their appetite also changes. They're developing, and one day they might love something, the next day they're going to hate it, and they might like it again. And again, try to make good eating habits now. Keep good, healthy food choices around. Now, don't completely withhold foods, because what's going to happen as they get older, they'll go over to their friend's house, and their friends have that bag of M&M's, Costco, they're going to pick out there. So let them have treats. Don't, like, completely withhold something, because, but say this is a special treat. 6 small meals versus 3 larger ones. Children have a smaller stomach. They don't eat as much, so to make sure they get all their nutrients, 6 small meals instead of 3 larger ones. So 6 smaller meals. Now when we get to elder nutrition, The elderly have less appetite too, so what do you think I'm going to say for them? Six small meals. To stress fruits and veggies, but don't overdo it with them because you don't want to give them diarrhea. And try whole grains, not white bread. Now, what I've noticed is parents will get cookie cutters and cut shapes of animals for sandwiches, but it's a way to get them to eat. Also, the crust is hard for them to eat. That's where the habit of cutting the crust off is. They're not eating as much. That's why you have to stress nutrient density because their growth rate has gone down. They're not going to be eat an entire sitting because they won't be as hungry. And they have built-in feeding methods. They know when they're hungry, when they're not. They haven't let psychological things influence them. Soon, as in school years, psychological factors start to play a role. So in normal weight children, they'll stop eating when they're not hungry. So don't nag them, don't force them. Whatever you do, do not bribe children with food. Again, provide psychological issues later on in life. Let some autonomy. Again, feeding is one way children can express themselves and their displeasure. A child will never intentionally starve themselves if they don't eat their vegetables. Try to introduce them one at a time and try them at different times. Try them in the morning, try them at night, and offer again the one bite policy. You have one bite, and then we'll give you the peanut butter and jelly sandwich. Try to give it a dip, try to make it fun for vegetables. They like putting it in ranch sauce, and again, children can eat fat because they're still growing. They like raw vegetables. They're crispy, they snap. Blanching, you put it in, take it out, it's still fairly crisp. And again, something to dip in. Peanut butter, even. Something that makes mealtime fun. Typically, children do not need supplements. My parents were shocked when we got a new couch and they found all the supplement pills. You focus on all the food groups and make sure you have nutrient-dense foods, they generally don't need them. Now, fortified cereals are going to have zinc and calcium and iron added to it. They're going to be enriched with the B vitamin. So that's big boost for most of their needs right there. Orange juice, vitamin C, and it will have calcium in it and maybe even vitamin D in it. So again, use food instead of supplement. Kid will not like it and try to hide it under the couch or on the floor. Or if you have a dog, the dog will get all of this vitamin. Some preschoolers do end up with iron deficiency anemia because they're not getting their iron. And the parents are afraid to feed them cereals because they're like, oh, cereals, Count Chocula and Boo Berry and Tony the Tiger, it's all sugary. But there are healthy cereals that kids will like out. You just have to find it. My son likes Goldlink Crunch because that's what we eat. And when he sees us taking it out, he demands us to put some of it on his plate. And he likes it because he crunches, I think. Now we're giving him nutrients. Now, iron deficiency anemia, you don't have a good oxygen supply, brain doesn't develop, learning compromises learning abilities, and lowers disease. So again, iron fortified cereal. And again, pick a good one. Back when I was a kid, meaning none of you guys remember this, there was a store chain called the Co-op. And they had on their cereals, the green cereals, mint, super healthy, good for you. The yellow cereals were the ones that still were healthy, but they had a lot of sugar. And the red ones were all sugary. And my parents always bought the green one. Oh, yeah, women and children. Women, infants, and children. Again, I mentioned it last. Free or reduced cost resources from the county. Some of them let you go in, even like shop, go, I want one of those, I want one of those. So, good resource. I know the one in, one of the ones in Contra Costa County, right next to the courthouse off Donald. I know another one is in Concord in the middle of nowhere. I have no idea where. Alameda County. Dental caries is cavity, and you need to start hygiene early, such as when they first get them used to brushing teeth in the morning and at night, and seek early dental care. It shouldn't. Our pediatrician says wait until at least 2 years, but he has teeth, so we still make sure we brush. Again, a good habit of brushing. Watch out for toothpaste though, and letting them brush their own because the toothpaste tastes good. You have minty, and I think Aquafresh had like 70, 37 different flavors. So they taste good. So the kid puts it, swallows the toothpaste. More on that could lead to blackening of teeth from overload of fluoride. So use fluorinated water. Our tap water in the Bay Area is awesome. Fluorinated toothpaste. Try not to give them too many sugary snacks. Avoid sticky food. Bacteria cannot cling to your toothpaste. Bacteria need a rough surface to grab on. So the idea of brushing your teeth is you have a nice shiny surface they cannot cling to. Sugar and things that stick in your teeth give bacteria something to grab onto. Once one little bacteria has his pseudopod down, other bacteria can grab to him and you could get a bacterial film. Also, if they chew gum, choose a sugarless gum, not Bazooka Joe, not Bubblicious, not Hubba Bubba, sugarless gum. Now, children who are of vegetarian parents need to watch out for the same deficiencies as their parents: iron deficient anemia, B12 deficiency, zinc, magnesium, and calcium. And here again, you might need the supplement. Parents are probably taking the supplement, child probably. School-aged children are from 6 until puberty, and they have a micropyramid, or they used to have a micropyramid. You are supposed to moderate fat and sugar. Again, there's not a rapid growth yet. They're still gradually growing. And at this time, they start to get cravings for fat and sugar food all around them. Now, start to increase the serving size. Their stomach is growing as they are. For breakfast, again, it's recommended you give them fortified cereals. But since children are picky eaters, try a pizza. Try yogurt topped with nut, or yogurt parfait, or yogurt topped with fruit. Now again, trail mix, high in calorie, crunchy, very good for kids, very bad for somebody sitting watching TV, but great. Overemphasize low-fat diets. Oh, overemphasis of low-fat diets leads to eating disorders because they're feeling restricted, so they go over to their friend's house and they gobble up whatever it is. For lunch, they're actually starting to recommend letting the kids play first and getting all the energy out of their systems and then sitting down for lunch. That was new. I believe I read it in June. Again, if you send them with lunch, make sure it's nutrient dense, make sure they have fluid, and beware, they will trade, they will dump it in the garbage if they don't like it. So you might want to let them have some autonomy. For dinner, don't give them soda with dinner, give them milk, give them juice for dinner, and again, nutrient-dense food. Now, type 2 diabetes, which used to be adult onset, is starting to grow in our childhood population. It is because of increases in obesity and a decrease in physical activity. When I was a kid, we had recess 3 times a day, and we would go out for PE twice a week at least. Now, PE is getting dropped from all the schools because there's no money, and they're like, oh, we need to focus on academics and passing No Child Left Behind. So children are not exercising. And there is screening. I believe Contra Costa County has a bus that goes from school to school, and they actually do screenings of kids. I am not sure about Alameda County again. You can tell which county I live in. Family history and ethnicity also play a role. Again, African American and Latino children are more predisposed of diabetes than Caucasian. Encourage low glycemic foods. So again, don't give them sugary food. Also, encourage physical activity. Do not get them the Nofrendo. Do not let them watch lots of TV. Make them go outside. What, 30 years ago, we were not expected to be inside before it got dark at night. But again, it was a lot safer for kids to run around outside. Scary things about obesity: 15% as of 5 years ago were obese in school, and 40% of those become obese adults. Now, for adolescents, 80% of obese adolescents become obese adults. So it's a health threat. On average, school-age kids spend 34 hours a week in front of a TV, video game, or computer. And they recommend no more than 14 hours a week. So again, send them outside, have them run. Excess calorie intake, excessive snacking, especially the latchkey kid. They have the key, they go home, and the parents provide easy snacks. And the problem is, when your kid goes over to little Jimmy's house, little Jimmy's mom might have the cheesy puffs that he doesn't get at your house, so he picks out. So try to have nutritious snacks, and try to encourage the kids to go to your house, not little Jimmy's house. Poor little Jimmy always gets. Over-reliance on fast foods. Again, both parents are working, you're tired, you're rushed, so you get a pizza for dinner, or you get Mickey D's for dinner, or you get Panda Express for dinner. So again, cook on Sunday, freeze things. Cook when you have time, put it in the freezer so it's just ready to pull out and microwave. I will repeat that again when we talk about elder food. You cook for them for a week on a Sunday. So they could just take it out, microwave it throughout the week. Parental neglect. Just parents don't have time to watch kids. Both parents work. You have latchkey by my house. And lack of a safe play area. Easy, high-calorie foods. Most snack foods are high in calories. But if you train them to eat oranges or apples, a lot. Treatments for obesity. First, encourage physical activity. Try 60 minutes a day of moderate activity. And fun stuff. AIDS and weight management and plan for. Try to limit the high calorie, high fat foods, but do not put them on a restriction diet. The worst thing you can do is put them on a restriction diet. What's going to happen when they go to the little Jimmy's? Pig out. Try to focus on self-esteem again. There's psychological issues. And stage every parent dread teenage years. Once they reach teenage years, they go through rapid, rapid growth spurts. According to the textbook, girls start puberty at 10. Boys start at about 12. In reality, girls are starting it as early as 8 or 7. There was a girl in Spain who was 9 who gave birth. And part of it is all the hormones in our foods that they claim are super safe. They might be leading to early development. Also, getting an overabundance of nutrients, the body thinks it's ready, so it starts to go into puberty, even though full stature has not been met. Girls will gain about 10 inches, boys will gain about a foot, and this is a rapid growth, so what's going to happen to hunger? It goes up, especially if you have a boy. So girls, they have estrogen, and they will gain fat because it is going to get them ready for having babies, and it will also signal reproductive viability where it goes. Boys get lean, meaning if you have a teenage boy, you will never have food in the fridge until they move out to college. So their appetite increases, but there's also peer pressure that increases a lot too, and that's the problem with teenagers. By the end of puberty, the serving sizes get to that of an adult, so it increases over the years. And nutritional problems, anorexia and bulimia. And teenagers make poor food choices. They're hanging out with friends. If you want to find every single teenager that goes to El Cerrito and Albany High School, go to El Cerrito Plaza at about 30. They will be in front of P.F. Chang's, they will be in front of 4 Bucks, they will be in front of Jamba Juice, and they will be eating high-fat, high-sugar food. So they eat high-fat foods. It's easy, they're hanging out with their friends, and high-sodium food. Lots of snack foods have high sodium. Again, they go to Little Jimmy's house, his parents have the cheesy puffs and pretzels, and they pig out on that while playing Nofrendo. You guys know what Nofrendo is, right? They start to develop iron deficiency anemia. They're not eating iron. They're not eating meat. They're eating junk. Girls tend to have more problems because the girls see these Photoshop starlet like Hannah Montana and go, I want to look just like her. So they don't eat. They're like, oh, milk has fat in it. So they don't drink milk, even non-fat milk. Or milk has too many calories. Why is the little girl going to need milk? Or the teenage girl going to need milk? Calcium, bone density. And they're worried about weight gain, so they're going to eat 2 leaves of iceberg lettuce. Boys, on the other hand, eat everything in sight. They just lack impulse control and they make very poor food. The school lunch program, teenage year chapter, but it goes all the way to first or second grade. I love having, so it can be nutrient poor and energy dense stuff, especially junior high and high school. When I worked, so to get your teaching credential, you have to do student teaching. I did my student teaching at a junior high school, and they had a round table pizza. They had a burrito place, and they had vending machine. That was their school lunch. They had nothing that was very nutritious at all. So these kids were eating it. They were going to the vending machines, and they were coming in hyperactive. Teachers were wondering why. Poor food. And the vending machines are open all the time. When I went to El Cerrito High School, there were 2 vending machines run by the debate. The vending machines were opened at the beginning of lunch, and they were closed 20 minutes before lunch ended. All the food that the Berkeley High kids can actually eat during their lunch break is junk, high sugar, high fat. They don't have lots of good restaurants downtown Berkeley, but they don't have time to sit down and order, and they don't have the money for it. So they go in and get the fast food. So teens are not aware of long-term health effects. They think they are indestructible. They think they know everything. And they don't pay attention to the future. Recommend small portions of sugary food and try to get them to eat larger servings of meat, of dairy, of vegetables and fruit so that fills them up. Now, the problem is a lot of teenagers are latchkey kids, hard now. So you see them maybe for breakfast, you see them at dinner, and you have no control of what they were doing 8 a.m. and 8 p.m. Stress the importance of nutrition and physical fitness. After school, when I was in high school, before we had cars, we would get on bikes right all over the place. For some reason, when we got cars, we would actually go to fields and play baseball or football or something where we were running around. And I don't think kids could do that anymore, do that. Now, teens get about a quarter to a third of their calories from snacking. Unfortunately, chips, candy, cola. And it's social. They go out to eat, and they eat because it's socialization, not. After I would do theater in high school, and we would go to Nations at 10 p.m. at night after rehearsal. And what we would do is we would order pies, we'd order those hamburgers that were greasy, fatty hamburgers that were fried in deep fat, and then they had poured extra oil over just to be sure that could cause a heart attack. We ate that at 12 p.m. or 10 p.m. And again, we weren't hungry, it was socialization. And they have poor dietary habits, and when they start as a teenager, leave. And again, you need to train them. This is what you should be eating. So again, provide healthy snacks around the house. Encourage, this is what's good, and try to get your teen to hang out at your house, not little Jimmy's. Starbucks and Jamba Juice is not off the hook either. I've spent way too much time at coffee shops. When I go to coffee shops near the local high school or junior high school, I know exactly when school gets out because the hordes of teenagers come and order frappuccinos, which are basically sugar. And high sugar, high fat, have caffeine. Jamba Juice is just as popular. There are 20 zillion high school kids outside the Jamba Juice in El Segundo Plaza, drinking not the small one, but the big one. And it leads to obesity, and because of the sugar, hyperactive. And again, it's social. It's where they hang out. So you need to actually train adolescents to be health conscious. Talk to them about obesity. Talk to them about dental decay. Because again, you're eating all these, they're eating all these sugary foods. They don't brush their teeth. Also, talk to them about drugs, alcohol, and smoking. In fact, they need more energy, so they absorb calories very easily. Males tend to have greater nutritional needs than females because of lean muscle mass, and they are more energetic. Teenagers of both sexes need protein, iron, and calcium. Now, unfortunately, as I mentioned, the teen female sees Hannah Montana and says, "I must look like that," so they do not eat red meat. There goes their iron. They do not eat milk. There goes their calcium. They eat that piece of iceberg lettuce, and they're basically starving themselves. Many of them fail to eat breakfast. I had an 8th grade class when I was in high school. I did not eat breakfast. It continued on into my first year of college, where I had an 8 a.m. class. I woke up at 7:05 and made it to class on time. There was fortunately not a dress. We walked 10 feet, maybe 20. Lack of companionship for regular meals. Again, busy schedule, not sitting down with parents to eat. So try to schedule times at least twice a week where the whole family sits down together. They don't drink milk, they switch to soda. So again, emphasize drinking milk. And they make nutrient-poor food choice, convenient food, which is usually high fat, high sugar. Now, females have an overriding fear of obesity, so they go on diet. Males apparently want to look just like Jose Canseco, who you guys know. Barry Bonds and Mark McGwire and Albert Pujols. They want to look like an NBA and baseball player. So they bulk up, but that's not enough, so they might take steroids. Male athletes, I believe it's 10% do steroids now, which is scary. Some are fearful of acne, so they avoid foods. Now, most of the acne foods are wives' tales. What causes acne is the oil glands start secreting oil, and bacteria that's living on your skin eats the oil, and sometimes it causes an inflammation and swelling, and that's acne. No food will increase oil production or decrease oil. You just need to clean your face. So clean your face, and that will cure acne. But they must take. Oh, the one Jessica Simpson's food. Proactive. Excess intake of convenience foods. Most our surveys report that iron is not adequate, calcium is not adequate, and vitamin A. So girls are not getting enough calcium because they avoid the milk. They associate fat with milk. I think I've repeated that 20 times now, right? Have I hammered it in? Protein. So, for protein, it's a little bit larger than it is for Captain Couch Potato because they're no longer child, because the adolescent is growing. So, the DRI for protein in adolescence is 0.95 kilograms per gram. 0.95 grams per kilogram because their bodies are growing. You have protein in your bone. You have protein in your muscles. You have proteins in your nerve. So you need the additional protein. For women, it's a little bit less. And again, females, they're not getting as much lean tissue. and they're not getting as thick bones. What estrogen does is it flares the hip, thins the bones a little bit, and puts adipose tissue on the glutes and the pectoralis major and the thigh. For boys, their shoulders widen, that is thickening of bones. Their waists narrow and their hips thicken. So that's going to make them look larger than they really are. Say, I am a manly man, I will protect your children. They have a greater demand for protein because of both bone and muscle.